Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Again, if you're jumping on here tonight, be it by YouTube, by Facebook Live, please let me know where you're joining us from. Let me know if you're new to the broadcast. Many times we get new broadcasters or new followers or new listeners, rather, is the correct term here. And if you're new to the broadcast, please let us know below. Just let us know, say I'm new or first time or whatever the case may be, so that we can acknowledge that you're coming on here tonight. All right, guys, so for the next few moments, for about 30 minutes, I want to expound a little bit on when I was doing my devotional. This word come up out of 2 Peter chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 2. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1 is 1 John chapter 2. I'll get it right here in a second. That's kind of where we're going to go back and forth. And I want to deal with the subject, are you abiding in Him? Are you, and I could say, are you and I abiding in Him? And we're going to do just, there's this little checklist, and you can read this again in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2. So let me get started on this thing, and we're going to expand a little bit. This is verse 5 of 2 Peter, verse 5. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So now Peter starts expounding here, and he's talking to the church. He's exhorting the church, and he says, you have faith. That's good. It's a good thing that we have faith. Every man is given the measure of faith. We all have some measure of faith, or you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't come to the knowledge of the truth. You wouldn't have no interest in the Lord. You have faith. For those who come to God must first believe that He is. It takes faith to believe that He is. But then he says, add to your faith. So we don't stop with faith. We don't stop there. Watch what he says. You build upon this. Add to your faith virtue, and then you add knowledge. And then he says, to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. See these levels? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, I know some of y'all are checking out because you hoped that we were going to do a prophetic message. But again, I want to tell you something I always tell a lot of folks, and that is, what good is it to know the mystery of the ages and to know the wisdom of the age in which we are in, the signs of the coming of the Lord, but our relationship with Christ is not in check and it's not in order? So Peter is telling us here, we must build. Our faith is a foundation, but we must build upon it. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Seven attributes here. But watch this. For if these things are yours, and I'm going to say ours, because I'm going to include myself into this message today. For if these things are ours and abound. It's one thing to have these qualities and these attributes. It's another thing if they're abounding. He said, you and I will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. How many would like to be neither barren nor unfruitful in our knowledge of the Lord? Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I definitely will say yes and amen to that. And this is what he says. If you are abounding in these things, then this is what he says. You won't be barren and you won't be unfruitful. Come on. It don't matter what seasons come and go. It don't matter. come on, what the job situation is. It don't matter if you're getting ready to head into a valley. It don't matter if you're in a slump. It don't matter if you're in a dry season. It don't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the numbers say. It doesn't matter what's written on paper, what their opinions are, what people say. Come on, somebody. You will neither be barren nor will you be unfruitful. Here's what David said. Let me just turn over here. I want to go over here. I didn't plan on going over here, but it sparked this and made me think about this. Psalms chapter 1. Listen what it says. David wrote this in the book of Psalms. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many believe that's godliness? That's one of those attributes. Nor does he stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Now listen what it says. As a direct result of this, it says that he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And when you read this in the Hebrew understanding of this, it basically implies here that regardless if it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, even when it's not even the season to produce fruit and to be barren, you are to produce, you still will remain fruitful and you still will be producing. Why? Because you're walking in these attributes. Come on, somebody. Now listen to this. But for those who lack these things, if we lack these things, here's what Peter says. We're short-sighted, even to blindness. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about we won't have a vision. We won't have discernment. We won't have understanding. We'll be groping through our walk with God. We won't have clarity. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and neither shall he expect to receive anything from the Lord. And the Bible says that the wicked are not as the righteous, but they grope in the darkness and they know not where they go. But the Bible says the path of the just should be like a shining light, or a shining lamp that gets brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Come on. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. But when we lack these things, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, we become short-sighted even to blindness. And we'll actually, here's what Peter says, forgetting that we were cleansed from our old sins. Now, why would he say that? Because he's emphasizing here that when we begin to meditate and we begin to ponder on and we begin to call to remembrance what our Lord and our Savior has done for us. Come on, I don't know what he's done for you, but I'm going to tell you what he's done for me. Come on. He set me free. He took me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. Come on. He set me free from drugs, set me free from bondages, from addictions. Come on. He's healed my body. Come on. He's given me a sound mind. He's given me wisdom. He's given me an excellent and virtuous wife. He's given me two blessed children. He's given me a wonderful family. He's given me a wonderful home. He's given me a roof over my head. He's given me food on the table, clothes on my back. He's given me my health and my body. Come on, I don't know what he's done for you. I'm sure you can testify this evening, but for me and my house, I'm telling you, God has been good to us, even in the times of darkness, even in the valleys, even in the low spots, even in the dry seasons, even in the barren seasons. He has always come through, and we have never lacked any good thing. David said, the psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread. He said, the young lions therefore lack and they hunger, but those who honor the Lord and those who serve the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a witness, a thank you, Jesus, or something here today? I'm trying to tell you that when we begin to forget where we've come from, And what he's taken us out of, what he's delivered us from, delivered us out of, brought us out of, we become short-sighted. We become selfish. We become full of pride, and we no longer want to express brotherly love. We don't want to exude, we don't want to express the agape love for one another. We don't want, we no longer desire to get into the word. After all, we're blessed. We've got everything we need. We've got a house. We've got food. We've got clothing. We've got a nice job. We've got a nice relationship. We're healthy. We've got money in our pocket. We don't need God. Come on, some people get this attitude. God warned the Israelites. You can read this in the book of Exodus. He said, beware lest when you be full and you get, basically I'm paraphrasing this, when you become full and you become fat on the very blessings that God has bestowed upon you, that you begin to say to your in your heart, by my own hands have I achieved this. I have done this. I have accomplished this. I have succeeded in this. And we begin to take our testimony away from look what the Lord has done to look what I have done. Look what I have achieved. Come on, it's real easy to do. It's very difficult to do when you're in need, when you're in want, when you need help, when you need, come on, when you need something from the Lord. But the moment we get on the mountain, the moment we're blessed, the moment our stomachs are full, our pocketbooks are full, come on, our bank account's got money in it, we've got the nice job that we asked for, we've got the nice home that we believe God for, we can get really comfortable in the blessing and begin to neglect the blesser. And as a result, we become short-sighted even unto blindness. But the Lord, I'm going to show you something here. The Lord warns us to remain and to abide in Him. What's this called? Are you abiding in Him? So we're going to get there. I know some of y'all is thinking over the last 10 minutes, well, what's this got to do with abiding in Him? Oh, I'm going to get there. Just hold on here for a second. Listen to what he says. Verse 10, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Come on, I want you to say that with your own lips. Say, if I do these things, I will never stumble. Did you know that the Word of God says He is able to keep you from falling? Did you know that? Now you say, what things? Let's back up. To be diligent to make our calling and our election sure. Listen, I don't know what your calling is, but I know that you've been elected by the Lord. It is His will that you know Him and come to the knowledge of the truth, walk in Him, and abide in Him. Now, what does the word abide mean? The word abide, when you read this in the New Testament, it means to be rooted in Him, to be steadfast and immovable in Him, to remain in Him, steadfast and immovable. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Because this is like a door that's on the same hinge. It's going to hinge right off one another. You just heard what Peter said about this. Now let's listen what the Apostle John says here. This is the message. I'm sorry, my little children, this is again 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. By the way, that Greek word advocate there means it's a depiction of a lawyer. In our case, it's a heavenly lawyer. Come on, He's your lawyer. He's got you in. He's in your corner. Listen, there's some good lawyers out there. And I could name some big time celebrity lawyers that they all want to run to because they've got notoriety and they've got a track record. And these celebrities pick these lawyers for a reason because they know that they've got a track record and they know if they can get them on their side for their case, then they have a more probability of winning. But I'm going to tell you something, no matter how good an earthly lawyer is and what kind of credentials he has, what kind of experience he has, what kind of resume he has, nothing can compare to a heavenly advocate. And I'm going to tell you something. When the devil comes accusing you and I before the throne room of God, you better be thankful that you have an advocate. Come on, with the Father. And his name is Jesus Christ the righteous, according to the Apostle John. And listen to what it says. And he himself is the propitiation. That's a strong word there. Propitiation for our sins. That word means, basically, without going into detail about this, it means that word means atoning sacrifice. It's a picture of, in the Old Testament, the high priest once a year would go in and he'd make a sacrifice. He'd make an atonement for the people of Israel. He would shed blood for their atonement. So this is what this, Jesus Christ himself is. Come on, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the whole world. Now, most of the world doesn't know this. They don't understand this. They're ignorant about this. They're looking for this. They're searching for this. They're looking in all the wrong places. But I'm going to tell you, they may be looking and searching, but Jesus is the answer for all of humanity, not just who he picks and chooses. For it is the will of God that none perish and all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Now listen to this. Now by this, here we go. Here's this checklist, guys. Watch this. Are you and I abiding in him? Now by this, we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. So I got to ask you today. Let's include all of us today. Are we keeping his commandments? Because according to the assessment by the Apostle John, by this, an individual will know whether or not they know him. Now this word know, when you see know, known, knowing, the connotation here is intimacy. You can find this all the way back in the book of Genesis. When Adam knew his wife Eve, it's a strong term meaning intimacy. And on that day, many shall come unto me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not raise the dead in your name? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not do many works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. And again, that word knew there, knew, know, and knowing, and the Greek connotation and understanding of that is an intimacy. Do you have a head knowledge of him? Do you have a Bible knowledge of him? Do you have a theological understanding of him? Or come on, do you get up every morning and say good morning, Lord, and have a conversation with the Lord, begin to plead with the Lord, begin to bring your petitions before the Lord, begin to intercede before the Lord, begin to cry out for your family before the Lord, begin to ask him to change you from the inside out, begin to commune with him? Have you ever gone before the Lord and never wanted to ask him for anything? Lord, I come to your presence today, not asking, not seeking, and not knocking today. I'm not asking for anything that you may give me. I'm not asking that you do anything for me today, but I just wanted to come into your presence and just say thank you. I just wanted to come to you today and thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you that I could have been dead a long time ago. Come on, somebody. I could have died in the car accident. I could have died of the drug overdose. I could have died of alcohol poisoning. I could have died on the operating table. I could have been aborted. I could have been died premature. I could have died prematurely. I could have never made it on this side of the earth, but I want to just thank thank you today. I come with a thanksgiving offering. I'm not asking for your blessing. I'm not asking for anything, but I just wanted to come before your presence and thank you today. Come on. Do you have that kind of relationship with him today? Come on. How much do you need him? How much do you long for his presence? Can you go 6 days, 7 days, 2 weeks and not commune with him, not be in his presence, not be, come on, in an atmosphere where he is? And if you answer yes to that, friends, then I'm going to tell you something. You are not abiding in him. You become callous. You become cold. Come on. You are beginning to backslide. I don't want to get like this. I want to become dependent upon him. I remember hearing a testimony one time from a great man of God. I'm not going to name his name because it's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. But I remember, and this was a very powerful man of God, would give words of knowledge and he would hit the nail on the head. I'm talking about scary, raised. It would make the hair stand on your head and goosebumps all the way down your body because of the pinpoint accuracy of the words of knowledge. This man had, not only did he abide in the Lord, but he had a very strong communion with the Lord on a daily basis. Well, one time, just like any of us that were prone to this, he become so busy with ministry that he didn't take the time that he used to spend with the Lord and in his presence, in devotion, in his word. Come on, somebody. And as a result of this, one time he went out to his garden and he began to pick some fruit from his garden or pick some vegetables from his garden, whatever the case may be. He was picking that off and he heard the voice. The Lord spoke to him in his innermost being and said, such and such, I long to spend some time with you. When are you going to spend some time with me? I've not seen you lately. I've not heard from you in a while. I sure would love to spend some time with you. And this man of God dropped his basket right there in his garden immediately and ran back home weeping and got into his prayer closet and spent some time with the Lord. Friends, I remember many years ago, that very same thing happened to me. This was years ago. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen more than that, because it has. Because again, we're all guilty of this. I don't care who you are. And even John says, if you say that you sin not, you're a liar. Okay? So I'm going to tell you, I remember one time years ago, I was really into weightlifting. When I didn't know the Lord, this was like a god to me. I mean, I was ate up with it. We're talking about supplements, protein shakes, magazines. I mean, I had to do it every single day. It was just part of who I was. It was controlling me. Emotional swings and this. If I didn't do certain workouts, if I didn't get a workout in, if I didn't get a protein shake, if I didn't take creatine, if I didn't take these supplements and this and that, because it became an idol. It was idolatry. And I remember, I got saved in 2000, but shortly after that, how many believes? Come on. When you get saved, your spirit man is renewed. Your spirit man is transformed. Your spirit man is transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in you. He seals you. Okay. You're born again. Your spirit is born again, but your mind is still carnal. Let me say that again. When you're born again, your spirit you're a new creation in Christ Jesus by the Spirit, but you still have the same carnal mind. You still have the flesh. So this is why Paul emphasized in Romans that it has to be transformed daily by the renewing of the Word of God, the washing of the Word of God. So here I am, born again. The Holy Spirit came in on the inside of me. I have a relationship with God. I have to get in the Word of God to get to know Him, to abide in Him. I have to get in His Word, get in His presence, get in prayer. Come on, somebody, get into a Bible-believing church or a gathering of other believers, the ecclesia. So I was pursuing these things, but I still had a problem. I still had an idol in my life, and it was weightlifting. And I remember the Holy Spirit, and it was the time that I always would work out. And the Lord began to speak to me. He says, I want to spend some time with you. Will you get into my word and spend some time with me? And I began to suppress that voice because my flesh said, no, I got to get this workout in. I got to go work out. I got to do this. I got to feed my flesh. And I remember I got all the way to the point where I actually was lying on the bench, like laying on my back because I was doing bench presses that day, put my hand on the bar, and I heard the Lord speak in my spirit and says, do you love me more than you love this? And guys, I'm going to tell you something. When you hear that, it will break you. And I begin to weep. And I wept and wept and wept. And I got off that. I stood up and I said, Lord, no. I said, I do not love this more than I love you. Now, I'm not saying that God is against you exercising and God is against you, come on, working out and running and doing it. Because even the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. But what I'm trying to say is we need to have the Lord as the Lord of our life and not just the Savior of our life. Oh, come on. I don't want to say that again. Not just Savior, not just fire insurance or escape from hell insurance, but we need to make Him Lord of our life. In other words, He's sitting on the throne of our heart. Not exercise, not a cigarette, not a drug, not an alcohol, not a relationship, hello, not a television program, not a book, not a hobby, not golf, not fishing, not these things can't sit on the throne of your heart. Only God can sit on the throne of your heart, and He's a jealous God, and He won't share the glory with nobody else. So I'm going to ask you again. John said, if we keep His commandments, we know that we know Him. Now listen to what he says in verse 4, 1 John 4:2-4. The individual who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar. Now what does this mean? Here's what it means. If you say you know the Lord and you are not living a lifestyle that practices, watch this. Let's go back over here to Peter. Let's hinge this door. Let's go back on the other side of the door. If our lifestyle is not producing virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love, if these things are not, these fruits are not being produced in our life, yet we say we know Him, my goodness, then John says, you are a liar. That's not my word. That's 1 John. Now I want to show you something. Look at this. Jesus said the same thing, guys. Let me go to the book of John. Look at this. Let me go over here real quick. Listen what Jesus said. This is John 15. I am the vine, or he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, again, this is not a matter of salvation here, guys. Because if you're saved, well, actually, it is a matter of salvation. Let me correct myself. Because if you're truly saved and born again and you're abiding in Him, then you're going to naturally produce these things. Watch what he says. You're clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. This is Jesus speaking. Abide in me and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now come on. We say Selah. Ponder on that. Meditate on that just for a second before we go on. Meditate on that just for a second before we go on. He says, if you say I know Him and you do not keep His commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now listen to what he says in verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. My goodness. Now listen, if you thought all that preaching I just did was tough, what the statement that John just made right there, I'm telling you, that brought it to another level. Let me just say that again real quick. Whoever says that he abides in him ought himself to walk as Jesus walked. Now, it would take 2 hours to preach on the walk of Jesus. Because I know today, we have the Jesus that's portrayed today definitely does not look like the Jesus that's portrayed in this Bible. The Jesus that is offered today from most churches today is not the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. Paul talks about another Jesus. The Jesus in this Bible did not make everybody happy. He did not please everybody. He was not a man pleaser. He didn't make everybody comfortable in their sins. He didn't go around, come on, congratulating people while they're in their sins. He didn't always give a word of encouragement. Come on, the Jesus in this Bible rebuked at times. He brought correction at times. He got angry at times. My friends, the Bible says that he walked into a temple one day and they had turned the entire temple into a den of thieves. He didn't just go, we get this picture like he walks in there and just starts flipping over tables. No, go back and read it. He walked in there. And as he was observing and looking around the temple, he was sitting there and he was making, crafting, creating a cord of whips. He was creating, come on, something. He was creating this. So this is not an off the hip reaction. We think that, well, Jesus just went in there and he lost his temper. No. It was righteous indignation. He thought it out. He conspired it. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made this whip of cords. And he went in there and began to whip the fire out of some folks and drive them out of the temple, saying, "You have made my father's house a house and a den of thieves when it's supposed to be a house of prayer." Now, you don't hear that Jesus preached today. I'm trying to tell you, if we're going to walk, as John the Apostle said, as even as he walked, then we better be, come on, we better be walking as Jesus walked. Not a one-sided Jesus. Not a make everybody happy Jesus. Not a make everybody feel good Jesus. Not a follow me Jesus. But we're talking about a whole counsel, a whole gospel Jesus. Come on, we're talking about a Jesus that has righteous indignation, a Jesus that rebukes as well, a Jesus that brings correction at times, a Jesus that brings tough love at times, a Jesus that says, go and sin no more at times, a Jesus that calls out Pharisees and calls them tombs full of dead man's bones and calls them vipers and broods of vipers and calls them snakes and serpents. Come on, we got to preach the whole Jesus. The Jesus that was persecuted. The Jesus that not only did he follow the will of the Father, but he took up his cross and he denied himself. So this is why John emphasizes. Listen with this. Brethren, I write, this is verse 7, 1 John 2:7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Listen to this. And here he goes again. He who says he's in the light. Here he goes again with this self-examination, this checklist. If a person says he's in the light, I'm abiding in the light, and he hates his brother, he's in darkness. But yet, you'll amen and shout that down, but then you'll turn right around and you'll get on Facebook under a thread and under these earthquakes in California, and you'll get on a thread and sit there and say some of the most heinous things that you could ever think of. This should never come out of a mouth of a Christian, like saying stuff like, I hope the whole whole state goes in the ocean, and who cares, and is it a bad thing that if California gets wiped out? Are you kidding me? There is righteous, God-loving, God-fearing people in the state of California. I had to personally get on one of our posts on our Facebook page on End Time Headlines and had to apologize to a young lady that's in California, had to apologize to her because of all the hateful comments from quote-unquote Christians who claim they're in Him, claim they're walking in the light, but yet they hate their brother. Oh, I'm not going to get too many amens on this one. But I'm going to tell you what John says. He said, if you say you're in the light and hate your brother, you're in darkness. But he who loves his brother abides in the light. You want to love your brother? Abide in the light. You start getting out of the light, guess what? You're going to start getting cold. You're going to start getting indifferent. You're going to start getting offended. You're going to start becoming calloused. And you're going to start becoming like the world. And acting like the world and becoming selfish and indignant and responding in hate and animosity and offense. Come on, I can determine many people's relationship with God by the fruit that they exhibit and what comes out of their mouth and how they express how they treat other believers. Oh, that's right. The word of the Lord says, by this you will know by this, all men will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. So if everyone knows your relationship with your brother by the expression of the love that you have for one another, that tells me that the opposite is true. That if you express no love, you express no mercy, you express no forgiveness, then that tells me, friends, that you, in fact, are not abiding in Him. You are not abiding in the truth. Come on, I'm not trying to condemn you tonight. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Even one of their seven churches of Asia, and Jesus brought correction to what is it, 4 out of 7? He rebuked them. I can't remember how many exactly it was, but he brought rebuke and then he brought affirmation. And one of the churches, he said, you've lost your love. Your first love, you've lost it. You've let the flame go out. And because of it, you're going through the motions. Yeah, you may have a ministry. You may have a platform. You may have a microphone. You may have a big Twitter following. You may have a big Facebook following. You may be known by everybody in your city, in your town, in your state, whatever the case may be. You may be the bishop everybody knows. You may be pastor so-and-so. Well, I'm going to ask you something. How do you treat people outside of the pulpit? Come on, somebody. He says, but the man who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, and he's walking in darkness and does not know where he's going. Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. That does sound familiar. That's what our brother Peter said over here when he says that if you abide in these things, you'll neither be nor barren nor unfruitful. But if you lack these things, you'll be short-sighted even to blindness and forget that you were cleansed from your old sins. It's amazing to me that all these people that bash other believers, come on, condemn them to hell, criticize them, make some ridiculous accusations against them, and wish death, despair, and destruction upon them are so quick to forget, come on, that they were a wretched sinner. Come on, that they were a nobody. Come on, that they were on their way to hell, that they were about to split hell wide open. And if it had not been for the Lord, they would be lost in a devil's hell. But it's so easy to forget when everything is going good. Come on. I know I'm stepping on some toes tonight, but listen to this. Listen what he says, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Notice he lists three stages or three levels of individuals. He mentions children, he mentions young men, and he mentions fathers. Did you know this is a spiritual parallel or spiritual picture depiction of our walk with the Lord? Come on. We start out as newborns in Christ, new converts. We're born again. We're on the milk of the word. Come on. And then we grow to a young man or a young woman in the Lord. We become a more seasoned saint. We begin to discern what's right and from what's evil and what's good and what is not. We begin to hear the voice of the Lord. We are his sheep and we know his voice. We begin to walk with him. We begin to hear him. We begin to begin to make our abiding in him. But then we reach a level of fathers where we become mature believers, or we're full of wisdom, and we get to the point where we're like the Apostle Paul, in which we have Timothys that are coming up under us, that we have walked through some experience. And I know a man of God, I believe he's 92 years of age. 92 years of age and still walking with the Lord, still has a sound mind, still fears the Lord, can give a word from the Lord and never skip a beat, never stutter, never scramble his words. I'm telling you, quote scriptures and everything. How many believes that man of God has walked through some stuff? He, what we would call a father in the Lord. So there's three groups of individuals that's watching this broadcast today. You're either young, you're a child in the Lord, or you're a young man or a woman in the Lord, or you're a father. What is your progression in your walk today? Depending on what that is what you need today. But I'm going to tell you what we all need. The key is to abide in him. Come on, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Come on. That's the key. Maturity in the Lord is not necessarily based on age, because I've met some very young people in age, but they're very seasoned in their knowledge of the Lord. And on the same token, I've met some very aged individuals that are very immature in their knowledge of the Lord. And it's because they're short-sighted in these areas. They don't abide in the Lord. They don't get in the word. They don't get in his presence. They don't attend church regularly. They don't do these things. And because of this, they're lacking in these things. Come on, somebody. Now watch this. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Listen to this. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides. There's that word again. Abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Now let's get to the next part. Listen to what he says. And we're almost done, guys. And we'll be finishing this up. Then he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now you want to know what's... Listen, I don't care. You could spend 4 hours a day in the Word, in the Lord, in His presence, and then walk out of that and begin to love and embrace and have fellowship and be yoked with the world. And I'm going to elaborate on what this means. And before you know it, everything that you've gained in a secret place, you can lose in 2 days' time. I'm going to say that again. Everything you gain in a secret place, you can lose in 2 days' time. Watch this. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, before people get confused on this, because I've had people get confused on this, and they'll begin to email me, begin to message me, and ask me this. There is three Greek words in the New Testament for the word world. There's, and let me tell you what these are. There's the first Greek word for the word world is meaning the planet. The planet, the world, the planet that we live on physically. Then there's the Greek word eon, I believe it is, eon in Greek. The word world there means ages or the ages to come. And I'm going to give you examples for all these, okay? And then the last one is world as in the world system or the culture of the world. Now, let me give you all these. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the planet, the civilization. Okay? That's what he's talking about there. God so loved the world, the people of it, the civilization of it. Okay? Then you got this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. It is not the end of the world, it's the end of the age. The world will never end. It will be renovated by fire. Okay? It will be renovated by fire. In fact, Peter tells us this. The first judgment came through a deluge of water. The second judgment comes through a fire, a renovating fire. It will come through a fire. So you've got the world, the planet that we live on, the world as in the ages to come, the age of the world, the end of the age. And then you have the word, the Greek word here in the context of 1 John 2:15 is the world system or its culture. Do not love the world or the things in the world. He's not talking about the people here. He's not talking about the people here, the civilization, because God's called us to love people. We are to love them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and we're called to love as God loved. But he's listen, if anyone loves the world system, its culture, the way it operates, if anyone loves that system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this system or this culture that we in, cultures come and go, depending on what, you know, 10 years ago, we had a different culture. 10 years prior to that, we had a different, we had one generation with a whole culture of this, and then this culture came and had this and that. Listen to what he says. For all that is in the world or its system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? Now, who is the author of this? Satan. And listen, and the world is passing away. It's fading away. Everything you go out here and look at this. It's not going to be the same. Everything is going to be renovated. Everything's going to be changed. Everything's going to be transformed. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be reformed and transformed into its original intent. It's going to end the way it began. The way it began. In the beginning, God was with man. In the end, God will be with man. In the beginning, they communed with God. He was there. He walked in the cool of the garden. In the end, God will walk with us. He'll commune with us. He'll fellowship with us. In the beginning, come on, Satan, in the very beginning, come on, there was no sin. In the end, there'll be no sin. In the beginning, God was the light. Come on, he illuminated the garden. He was there. His glory was there. In the end, there'll be no sun. There'll be no physical sun because Jesus will be the light of the city. Come on, of the new heaven and new earth. So it's going to end the way it began. All right, now watch this. Here's what he says. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let me say that again. He who does the will of God abides. Somebody say abides. Come on. Is anchored, is steadfast forever. You know what this means? Come what may. Come on, let's get back to this again. There's going to be strong earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be wars. There's going to be kingdom against kingdom, nation against kingdom. There's coming an antichrist. There's coming a false prophet. There's coming a mark of the beast. There's coming the system. There's coming all these. Come on. There's coming all kinds of things down the pike. But if you, my friend, are abiding in him, come what will, come what may, the world is passing away. But if I remain in him, I'm rooted in him. I'm steadfast in him. I'm rooted in his word. I'm rooted in his presence. Come on. I'm rooted and grounded in the fellowship of the ecclesia of other believers. Come on. I desire to be in his presence. I desire to be whole, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. I'm pursuing a relationship with him and abiding in him. In the end, it doesn't matter, because come what will and come what may, come on, the Lord said, the Bible says, you will be unbarren. Come on, and you will be fruitful. You will remain fruitful. You will remain productive. Come on, and you will be blessed because you chose to remain in him. Is that not what the psalmist said? He said, he that abides in me, he said, the man who meditates on the word day and night shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Come on, and that he says his leaf shall not wither. Come on. And Jesus said in the book of John, I believe it's John 15 or somewhere over there, he said, if any man abides in me, he said, the same shall bear much fruit. Come on. In other words, everything going on out here, guys, outwardly does not affect the fruit that we produce inwardly, or it shouldn't. We shouldn't allow it. But if we, this is why Peter and John and many of the apostles continually emphasizing abiding in him and the importance of abiding in him. So I'm going to close with this question again. Come on, let's just calm down for a second. Let's ask this question again. Are you abiding in him? What's your answer tonight? Listen, if you can't quickly say yes, preacher, I'm abiding in him. If there's a hesitation, if you question it, if you don't know for sure, there's an uncertainty. Friends, now's the time to get our hearts right with the Lord. Come on, we can make our hearts right with the Lord right now. Come on, just lift up your hands right where you're at. Father, I just pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. Lord, you see the women, you see the men, you see the children, you see the boys, you see the girls. Lord, I know from emails and messages that it's not just elderly men and women. It's not just young ones. It's not just these individuals, but it's also even the children. Even children have heard these messages. And Lord, even at 12 years of age and at 13 years of age, Lord, and the Spirit of God begins to prick their heart. The Spirit of God begins to tug at their heart. Lord, if there's any individual under the sound of my voice tonight, God, if there's any individual that's watching today and tonight by YouTube, by Facebook Live, and Lord, they recognize by their own admission through this checklist, through the Apostle Peter and through the Apostle John, that they have not been abiding in him. Lord, the expression of their heart has been dark. Lord, they've been showing resentment towards their brothers and sisters. They're not showing brotherly love. They're not exhibiting these fruits that we talked about over there in 2 Peter. Lord, if we recognize these things, if there's anybody that's watching this tonight and they recognize this by their own admission, Father, we ask tonight, you said in your word in 1 John, Father, you said that we have an advocate with the Father. You said that you are faithful and just. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God, I'm asking that you cleanse us anew tonight. Cleanse us afresh tonight. Wash us anew tonight. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Come on. Lord, I just thank you tonight for what you're doing in the lives of individuals under the sound of my voice tonight. God, you're drawing people to your presence tonight. You're drawing them into a renewal tonight. Lord, they're making their hearts right with you tonight. Lord, they're going to make that commitment. They're going to get into your presence again. They're going to rekindle that fire and that passion that they may be found abiding in you and not be ashamed at your coming and not be ashamed at your coming, because we know that your coming is nigh. Your coming is near. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I heard the words echoing in my spirit. Friend, this has nothing, no relevance to this message, but I heard this come up in my spirit when I was praying this. Today, we reported on an article that came out of California, and the I believe it was the governor there, the governor or the mayor, one of the two, told the state of California, and he was regarding the earthquakes, the two huge earthquakes that hit there. He said, if anything else, let this be a wake-up call. I heard that just resonating out of my spirit. Come on, that's for somebody tonight. If anything else, let this be a wake-up call. Let those words permeate your very spirit and heart. Let this be a wake-up call. People are looking at what's going on in California, and they're saying, what's going on out there? Why? What's happening here? And come on, the watchmen are on the wall. The prophets are sounding the alarm, and they're saying the coming of the Lord is at hand, and he's coming. But friends, I'm going to tell you a sad state of affairs. If the trumpet was to blast tonight, there's going to be a whole lot of people that are not ready because they're not abiding in him. And I refuse to allow that to happen on my watch. Come on. I refuse to let that happen on my watch. So if you're watching this tonight and you're stubborn and you're on YouTube and you're on Facebook and you just keep putting it off and you keep delaying it and you keep neglecting this salvation that's readily available to you and to I, come who may will. All that wants to drink of this fountain can come and take a drink. It is free, my friends. We are saved by grace. By faith, we are saved by grace, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to all those who will receive it tonight. Won't you say yes to Jesus tonight? Won't you say yes to him on Facebook tonight? Why don't you get right with him tonight? And you say, how do I do that? Friends, it's so simple. Right where you're at, if you'll just put your hand on your heart right now, or you just bow your head, close your eyes, and just begin to talk. Have a look. Come on, we used to say this in the church. Have a little talk with Jesus. Just begin to tell him, say, Lord Jesus, I recognize tonight that my heart is not right. I know that my life is not right. I'm not serving you. I don't go to church. I don't read your Bible. I don't know you. I'm not walking in the light. I'm not walking and abiding in you. I'm not ready to be with you. If I was to die tonight, I'm not ready. If the trumpet was sound, I'm not ready. If you were to come back tonight, I'm not ready. I don't have any oil in my lamp. My wick is not trimmed. I would hear, depart from me. I don't know you. But Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you'd forgive me tonight. I'm asking that you would cleanse me tonight. Help me to have a clean slate tonight. Take out of me what doesn't belong in me and put in me what you desire to have in me, and help me to walk this race, run this race, and finish my course. Help show me a Bible-believing church. Show me a group of individuals that I can get connected with that will help me, strengthen me, and help me as a support base. Show me what to do. Lord, help me in this walk with you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Friends, if you pray, that was as simple as can be. And if you really meant that prayer tonight, then you are born again. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And guess what? You are now in him. But now you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility every single day. We're all given the same time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're all given the same amount of time. In that amount of time that we've been given, which according to the Word of God is a vapor, it's here today and gone tomorrow, we have to willfully choose to abide in Him. You're in Him through salvation, but you have to abide in Him. You have to remain steadfast in Him. Come on, somebody. And that's what we're talking about tonight. In Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe that tonight? So give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray that it does not return void, but it establishes, it quickens, and it prospers that what it's sent forth to do and whom this word was for tonight in Jesus' name. Guys, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can follow us right there under Facebook Live. There's a link there. You can support us. You can follow us. You can subscribe to us. There's a link. You click on it. And it'll take you there, and there's going to be several places that you can go, and you can support our ministry either by electronically giving, or you can give by check or money order. You by, guys, by YouTube, if you're watching this, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, you can give by electronically, or you can give by check or money order. Again, it's at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. That's going to be our physical mailing address for you guys that wish, again, cards, checks in the mail. Physical mailing address is right there for you guys. And of course, you can give electronically. If you'd like to subscribe to push notifications or email subscriptions, you can do that all there right there under Facebook link, under the Facebook Live link right there under Facebook, or again on YouTube by going to the main website. Now, our monthly gathering, guys, in Cordon, Indiana, this month for the month of July is on the 27th. Again, every month we've been meeting up there in Cordon, Indiana. Our monthly gathering at Cornerstone Church there in Cordon, Indiana, is the 27th of this month. And again, you can click on... I'm trying to think where you go on our Facebook page on End Time Headlines. You're going to see an event there. We'll try to put that up on our main website as well. All the information's there. If you need the physical address, it's going to give you that. If you're again in driving distance, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, anywhere within driving distance, and you'd like to come out and be a part of this gathering or these monthly gatherings, we want to welcome you to come out. We have a good time in the presence of the Lord, and we always try to bring a powerful word on those on Saturday nights on there in at Cornerstone. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off tonight. Again, thank you for coming on here. We will probably be back on here on Wednesday. We're going to take off tomorrow, be back on here on Wednesday, and we will spend some time with you again in the Word, whether it be a prophetic word, a viewpoint, or a message, whatever the case may be. We'll just pray and see what that is. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.